And of all the people about whom he read and studied as a child in the synagogue, and of all the people who ever lived on the face of the earth from the time of Adam's creation in Eden's garden until Luke 17:32, or in, through the entire ministry of our Lord, it is only said of one person by our Lord, remember him or remember her. It's interesting, isn't it? Of all the people whom our Lord could have chosen to admonish us to remember, it's interesting, the one he chose. Remember Lot's wife. Nobody knows her name. Remember Lot's wife. Now, if this had been me, I would have said, remember Moses. Or remember Abraham. Or had it been me speaking, I would have said, remember Elijah. Or remember Isaac. Or remember Daniel. Or remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Or remember Jonah. Or I've looked down in the future and said, remember Paul. Or if I were going to choose the bad people, I would have said, remember Pharaoh. Or remember Herod. Or remember Ananias and Sapphira. But our Lord, for some reason known only to him, and there is a reason, gave us only one admonition to remember anybody other than himself. He said, remember me. He said, as often as you do it, remembrance of me, when he gave us the Lord's Supper. But he only said about one other person, remember them. Remember Lot's wife. Now, if I had narrowed it down to Lot's own family, Lot was the nephew of Abraham, I would have said, remember Abraham. Or at least remember Sarah. Or remember Lot. But he said, remember Lot's wife. Very little is said about Lot's wife in the Bible. And we have so much about Lot. Why wouldn't, if the Lord wanted to warn us about sin, why didn't he say, remember Lot? I do not know why. But for some reason known only to him, he simply says in Luke 17:32, remember Lot's wife. Now, I would have said, remember Lot. I would have said, remember how that Lot was Abraham's nephew, who was adopted by Abraham and who grew up in Abraham's household. Remember Lot. I would have said, remember how that Lot and Abraham's workers had strife between them. And of course, that caused a severance between Abraham and Lot. And I'll be honest with you, I cannot to save my life understand why God's people don't love each other. That, to me, is the hardest thing for me to understand. I never have comprehended why preachers want to criticize each other. I never have understood why any one of God's people would ever want to speak unkindly about any other of God's people. I'm going to say this tonight, I think, but I want to say it just in passing this morning. It was a great day in my life when I discovered the purpose for my tongue. My tongue was given me with which to praise the Lord. Why should I spend it talking ill about somebody else? What a terrible way to live. But Abraham and Lot, they had strife. Abraham was a peaceable man. God bless him. Abraham said to Lot, we'll divide. You choose whatever land you want. I'll choose whatever land I want. I'll take what's left over. I'll choose that which you don't want. I would have said, had I been writing this, remember how that he chose for himself the best land. The Bible says he chose the well-watered plains toward Sodom. Now that's the next step I'd want to remember about Lot. He didn't think about others, he thought about himself. You've heard me say this until you're tired of hearing it, but the most wretched person in this world today, in this room this morning, is that person who thinks about himself. That person who wants something for me. I want more. I'm not being treated right. He didn't treat me right. Why don't I get my rights? What do I get out of it? I want more money. I want shorter hours. Isn't it interesting that the same generation that is striking the most is the generation that is the most miserable, with more nervous breakdowns, more heart failures, more ulcers, more tranquilizers than any other nation or time in our nation's life. Lord, let me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. And it's true, trite, but true, the happiest person in this room today is that person who bathes himself in the lives of other people. Others, Lord. Yes, others. Let this my motto be. Lord, let me live for others, that I may live like thee. Not so with Lot. Not so with Lot. Lot said, I'll choose what I want. I'll choose the well-watered plain towards Sodom. But if I were talking about the story, I would have said, remember how that Lot came to the place where he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Now, Sodom was a wicked city. Sodom was the place inhabited by the Moabites. We mentioned that in the lesson this morning. A wicked city. Lot had no business in Sodom. He did not intend to go to Sodom. He just pitched his tent towards Sodom. Ladies and gentlemen, you pitch your tent very long towards Sodom, you'll be renting a house in Sodom before long. He just tilted himself towards Sodom. He said, maybe he had said, I'll let my girls wear skirt length that they wear in Sodom. Maybe he said, we'll sing the same beat of the songs they sing in Sodom. Maybe he said, we'll have our boys have their hair cut like they have them cut in Sodom. Maybe he said, we'll use the same lingo that they use in Sodom. But Lot was on his way down when he decided to pitch his tent toward Sodom. The next time we find Lot, he's in Sodom. He's bought a house. He's worked his way to the top. He's an alderman in the city. He's sitting at the gate of the city. He's worked his way up to a place of political prominence in the city. And now he's a part of Sodom. The next time we see Lot, we see a couple of messengers coming from God telling Lot that the city is going to be destroyed. We see these messengers coming, and perhaps other messengers came also, and the wicked Sodomites, the homosexuals in Sodom. And let me stop and say this too, ladies and gentlemen, once again, and that is, I don't care what the psychologists say, I don't care what the counselors say, I don't care what the dirty liberals say, I don't care what the heathen preachers say, homosexuality is not a sickness, it's an S-I-N sin. And God is going to rain out his rain, his judgment upon those that participate in such filth and vice. And so here we have these men. And so the men of Sodom come and they clamor and they beat the door saying, let us in! Let us in, Lot! Let us in! Lot says, why? Let's have a seat. If folks be in the service, be sure to have a seat. I don't like folks standing around in the service. He says, let us in! Let us in! Why do you want in for? And they said, we understand you have some men there. We want those men to come. We want them. What they were saying was, we want some sex with those men. We, the Sodomites. We, the homosexuals. And you mark it down, brother. You mark it down. Whenever a nation sells itself to sex, it'll keep on wanting the next thing and the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. And it'll keep on wanting something it doesn't have. And whenever nudity comes and open sex comes and the sharing of dorms in our colleges come and the premarital sex is considered okay, then you mark it down, the nation's going to go to all kinds of lascivious sins. It'll go to lesbianism and to homosexuality and to all kinds of things you can't even imagine, because we're searching after something we don't have. And what we're searching for is Jesus Christ, and we just haven't got enough sense to know it. And so they beat on the door. Let us have the men. Lot said, hey, hold it, fellas. Hold it, fellas. Look, these men, they're special messengers from God. Hey, what I'll do? I've got two daughters. I have two daughters. You can have them if you want them. Can you imagine? That's Lot. He grew up in Abraham's home. He left the Ur of the Chaldees with Abraham. He walked for years with the man who's the father of the faithful. This is Lot, a just man. This is Lot, who had a righteous soul, the Bible says. He says, take my daughter. Listen to me. You mess around and hobnob with Sodom, and your daughters are going to end up marrying Sodomites. You mess around with the world, and you hobnob with the world, and you take your family where they ought not to be. Don't you be surprised when they go to the devil. And Lot said, take my daughters, take my daughters. It's hard to realize it going that far, isn't it? If I were going to talk about the story, I'd say, remember how Lot lost his testimony. The angels came and they said, the city is going to be destroyed. Get out of the city. And Lot goes to his wife. He goes to his daughters. He goes to his sons-in-law. And he says, up, get you out of the city. God's going to destroy it. And the Bible says that he seemed as one that mocked to his sons-in-law. Hey, yeah, get out of the city. You're going to destroy it. Yeah, come on. No joke, fellas. No joke. Yeah, since when did old pop-in-law get religion? Yeah, we've seen your wicked life. We've seen you drink your cocktails. We've seen you heard your curse word. We've heard your dirty song. We saw what you said about our own wives. You gave offered our own wives. Those heathen men, we've seen how you live. Don't you come talking about religion to us. And let me tell you something, brother. You wonder why folks won't listen to you on the job. And you wonder why your loved ones won't listen to you. And you wonder why your neighbors won't listen to you. I'll tell you why much of the time. It's because they're sick of the way that Christian people live. And you can say what you want to say about First Baptist Church. And they can cuss us all they want to. But there's one thing for sure, brother. We try to teach our people to practice in the pew and in the homes and in the businesses and in the schools what we preach in this pulpit every Sunday morning. Funny thing, you're not going to have any influence onto your life. Look, brother, whenever a drunkard dies, his wife doesn't call old Gus the friendly guzzler and ask him to conduct the services. She knows where she can get help. She knows who's interested in people. She knows who loves people. She knows. And let me tell you something. Though we be not very popular in this town, and though we be the most cursed church in town, and bless God for it, and though people say we're narrow-minded, listen, if they hate me because I hate liquor, let them hate away. If they hate me because I hate the dirty dope traffic, let them hate away. If they hate me because I hate the dirty miniskirt business, let them hate away. If they hate me because I hate the dirty bathing suit business, let them hate away. If they hate me because I believe this Bible and will not yoke up with those that don't, let them hate away. But let our people live consistent lives as we intermingle with those who live in our city. They'll listen to us if we'll walk straight. They hate me when they live. They call me when they die. I get calls often. Brother Hiles, would you go to the hospital? Would you come to my home? Would you see so-and-so? Where do we go to church? One lady called me out in Highland. She said, would you go see my brother? He's dying in St. Margaret's Hospital. And I said, what church do you attend? She said, the Lutheran Church in Highland. I said, have you called your pastor? She said, well, of course not. I said, why? She said, he doesn't specialize in those cases. He doesn't specialize in those cases. Let me tell you something. Brother, even the heathen pagan world has more confidence in separated Christians who have conviction about right and wrong and decency than they have in these compromisers they want to hear while they're feeling well. And so they said, hey, Lot said, hey, get out, it's time to go. And they said, hey, pop-in-law's got religion. I'd say remember how that he fled to Zoar. I'd tell you to remember how that he took, the Bible says an angel took Lot by one hand, took his wife by the other hand, and grasped their hands and took them out of the city. And here's Lot and his wife and his two daughters. Can you imagine how they felt that morning? They'd lived in Sodom a long time. They'd become acquainted in Sodom. Lot was an important man in Sodom. The Bible says they fled about sunup. The sun was rising. Can you imagine how they felt that night when they went to bed in Sodom for the last time? Mrs. Lot would look at that beautiful bedroom suit and she'd say, oh, I hate to part with you. Tomorrow I've got to leave, but tomorrow night, if the messengers be true, by tomorrow night you'll just be ashes here in this bedroom. She looked at the lovely house that she had cleaned, or had her servants to clean, or had her maid to clean, the house that she had dreamed of, and the house that she had built after her own specifications. She looked at every room in the house, and she said, I hate to leave you. They say it's going to be destroyed tomorrow. I can't hardly believe it, but I hate to leave you. Can you imagine how she felt that morning when she got up early and heard the alarm go off, and she got up early, and before the sun was rising, she got up realizing that she had slept the last night in the bed where she had slept so many years. and she'd eaten at the table for the last time where she'd eaten, lo, these many years. Can you imagine, you ladies can imagine how Mrs. Lot must have felt. She left her own house, she left her own room, she left her own bed, she left her own table, she left her own yard, she left her own flowers. Can you imagine how they felt when Lot and his wife and two daughters walked out of the house and looked back for the last time, realizing they'd never again enter into that house? Can you imagine how she felt as they ran down the street passing neighbors and waving goodbye to neighbors? Where are you going? We're going. The city's going to be destroyed. And they're taking off early in the morning. They're passing neighbors. She passed her best friend and waved goodbye to her house. She passed other friends. She passed the place where they had the bridge club. She passed the martini place where they got their martinis. A lot past the tavern where they've been drinking his liquor. And they leave their town. Can you imagine how they felt when they got the city limit sign and realized that they'd never walk inside this town again? Realized that everybody in that town whom they held dear would soon be dead? Realized that even their own in-laws would soon perish in the fires of Sodom? Can you imagine how that Mrs. Lot must have felt? Can you imagine? But God said, don't look back. Don't look back. Don't you look back. Keep on going. A little city called Zoar. And the Bible says they went to Zoar. But of course you recall the story how that Mrs. Lot looked back and became a pillar of salt. And I'll go into that in a few minutes. Now I want you to see another picture. Look in Zoar. I walk up to the city of Zoar and I see a fella standing at the city limit sign. He's looking back and he's watching smoke as it rises. Or at least in his mind, he remembers the smoke of Sodom. I say, hello here, my name's Jack Hiles, what's yours? Oh, my name's Lot. Hey, I read about you in the Bible. You live down, hey, you were a big shot in Sodom, weren't you? Yes, that I was an alderman down in Sodom. I was a politician. I did pretty well for myself. Lot, where's your wife? She's dead. Well, sort of dead. She's dead. It's a cute little boy playing there. What's his name? It's his name, Moab. Moab. Hey, he must be your grandkid, huh? Huh? How many grandkids do you have? No. He's sort of my grandkid, but he's not my grandkid. Well, who's that little boy playing with him? What's his name? His name is Ammon. Ammon. Oh, he's a cute kid, too. Looks a lot like Moab. Hey, Ammon! Oh, how old are you? I'm this many. How old are you, Moab? I'm this many, too. And these your grandchildren? Well, no. Well, whose children are they? They're mine. I thought you said your wife is dead. Yes, she is. See, my daughters and I fled the city of Sodom, and I won't tell you about it because it's almost too terrible to even discuss, but my daughters fled the city of Sodom with me, but got out here and they got me drunk. Keep the doors closed in the back, please. Somebody stand outside and keep the door closed from the outside. Go out, stand outside, keep the door closed from the outside. I hate to have to say it 4 or 5 times in a service. That's good. Well, Lot, this other little kid, how'd he get born? Well, said, my daughter's got me drunk. I tell you, it's too awful to even mention. But one of my daughters said, let's sleep with Dad. And I slept with my own daughter. I was drunk. I shouldn't have gotten drunk, but I was. And I slept with my own daughter. And my daughter got pregnant. And that's my baby by that daughter. And that's my baby with the other daughter. Oh, Lot, anything you'd like me to tell the people? Yeah, tell them it doesn't pay to live in sin. Tell them back yonder when I was with Abraham, I should have gotten along with Abraham. We shouldn't have had a fuss. If I hadn't a fuss with Abraham, this would never have happened. Or if I hadn't have chosen the well-watered plains toward Sodom, this would never have happened. Or if I hadn't have pitched my tent toward Sodom, this wouldn't have happened. Or if I hadn't have gone to live in Sodom, this wouldn't have happened. Or if I hadn't have wanted to be popular in Sodom, this wouldn't have happened. Or if I had tried to sell my daughters into sin, this wouldn't have happened. But now my wife is gone, my family is gone, everything but my two daughters are gone, my wealth, my possessions, my city, all of it. Let me tell you, dear friend, I don't care who you are. I don't care who you are. You will not get by with your sin. You will not get by with your sin. God will find you out. You live in sin and play the fool. You're going to end up like Lot one of these days, a decrepit, miserable, wretched person receiving God's judgment. Nobody ever gets by with it. You won't get by with it either. And so here's Lot. But I spent so much time on Lot. I'm sorry. The Bible says remember Lot's wife, and I've been talking about Lot. Let's remember his wife. First thing I want you to remember about his wife, by the way, she shouldn't have been his wife. She shouldn't have been his wife. Lot shouldn't have married anybody from that country. She was either a Sodomite or a Canaanite, and neither one were supposed to be the wives for God's young men. Don't you recall how that it was God's will that the young descendants of Abraham would go back to Padan Aram and get wives back there? That's what Abraham said to his servant, go get a wife for Isaac back in Padan Aram. That's what Isaac said to Jacob, go back to Padan Aram and get a wife. That's where Jacob went. That's where he met Rachel. That's where he met Leah. That's where Isaac got Rebekah from Padan Aram. God never wants his people to marry the unconverted. He never does. Young people, heed that. Heed that. And so, he shouldn't have married her. Now, there are a few things I want you to remember about Lot's wife. First, remember that she was Lot's wife. She was his wife. And in spite of the fact that she was Lot's wife, she still died and went to hell. You don't go to heaven because your dad was a Christian. You don't go to heaven because your wife is a good Christian. You don't go to heaven because your husband's a deacon. You don't go to heaven because your father's a preacher. You go to heaven because you yourself have made it right with God by being born again through faith in Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you don't go to heaven. I was on the airplane the other day. They gave me my seat, and I sat down. There was a lady beside me. She must have been about 45 years of age, just a very young lady. And so I sat down. We chatted for a while. And I said, may I ask you a question, young lady? I said, do you know if you died today, you'd go to heaven? And she said, my father was a Presbyterian preacher. I said, I don't think you understood me. I want to know, do you know if you died today, you'd go to heaven? She said, you didn't understand me. She said, I was reared in a manse. They call them parsonages in Baptist churches. I think they're manse in Presbyterian churches. I was reared in a manse. And I said, I still don't think you understood me. I said, I ask you, do you know if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Well, she said, I keep trying to tell you that I am a PK. I said, PK? I'm a preacher's kid. I grew up in a Presbyterian pastor's home. I said, lady, I heard you. You are the daughter of a Presbyterian preacher. You grew up in a manse or a parsonage. You grew up in the church. I mean, you are a PK. Now, I said, have you been born again? She said, what, been what? And I said, born again. She said, my dad never mentioned that. And I said, dear lady, unless you get born again, you'll never go to heaven. You won't go to heaven because your father's a Presbyterian preacher, or because you got reared in a manse, or because you're a PK. You go to heaven because you've been born again. And let me say this, Lot's wife was his wife. She could have said, I have a righteous husband. That won't do for Lot's wife. She could have said, my just husband vexed his righteous soul because of the sins of Sodom. That won't do. That won't do. But look, I sat at Thanksgiving table with Abraham. That won't do. That won't do. Abraham is my foster father-in-law. That won't do. I'm sorry. When you die, you will die alone. When you face God, you will face God alone. And when you go to heaven or hell, you'll go not on what your dad did, but on what your mother did. What you did. I was watching a television this morning. I was shaving, and I was watching television. And this preacher, forgive me for calling him a preacher, Lord. This preacher was interviewing some different groups of people, and this one preacher, he's going through empty churches and looking at church furniture and so forth. He said, "What's this?" And this fellow with a dress on said, "This is the baptistry." And he said, Well, what do you do there? He said, you take the water here, sprinkle it on the head of the baby, and that baptizes him into the family of God. And I hollered as loud as I could, you're a liar! Doesn't baptize him in the family of God either. The truth is, it baptized him in the family of the devil. Let me tell you what I think. I think children by nature are children of Adam. I think that a person, when he joins a false cult or gets religious or gets baptized and not born again, I think he becomes a child of the devil then. Jesus said in John 8:44 to the Pharisees, ye are of your father the devil. I think by nature a man is a child of Adam. I think when he embraces a false religion or trusts something to save him other than Jesus, he becomes a child of the devil. But when he comes to Jesus and by faith puts his trust and faith in Jesus Christ, he becomes a child of God. She was Lot's wife, but that wouldn't do. Something else I want you to remember about Lot's wife, and that is remember that she almost got saved. Now you stop and think how close she got. First, she believed the message of the angels. The angels came and said, God's going to destroy this place. Get out! Get out! She believed it. She packed up. She got what clothes she needed or could pack. She left her house. She left her city. She got outside the city of Sodom. She almost got saved. She rose up early that morning, ran through those beloved streets, got outside the city. The Bible said the sun was coming up. And as she got outside the city of Sodom, she almost got to Zoar. If you'll check very carefully, you'll find that Lot got to Zoar at the same time his wife turned back, looked back, and became a pillar of salt. They weren't together. She is lagging behind. And she left her home, she left her family, she left her city. She got outside the city of Sodom, and God said, don't look back, don't look back, don't look back. She got almost to Zoar, the city of salvation. And Lot got inside the city, and Lot's wife said, I've got to just take one more look. My home, I loved it. My room, I loved it. My friends, I loved them. My city, I loved them. I loved it. I've got to take one more look. Just before she reached out to the gate of Zoar, she turned and looked. And in whatever position she was when she looked, she froze there. For she became a pillar of salt. She almost got saved. Almost. Almost. Dr. George W. Truett was preaching in Dallas, Texas. A friend of his had come to the services to hear him preach. Dr. Truett preached compassionately for the friend to be saved, and the friend almost trusted Jesus. Almost. And Dr. Truett went back and said, don't you want to be saved? And called him by his first name. He said, George, yes, I do. I'm almost ready to go, George. Almost, George. Dr. Truett said, please come now. He said, almost, George. Almost. He walked out the door without being saved. Before he ever came to another service was conducted. Word came to Dr. Truett that his friend was at the point of death. Dr. Truett rushed to his bedside, looked him in the face, and said, please, have you made it right with God? And he said, almost, George. Almost, George. He said, look, you didn't get saved last Sunday. Wouldn't you come be saved? Would you be saved now? He said, with starry eyes and a starry look, said, almost, George. Almost, George. Dr. Truett said, please, listen now, look, God loves you. And if you'll trust Jesus, he'll save you. You heard me preach the gospel last Sunday. Come to Jesus now, quick, you're dying. In his gasping last breath, he said, almost, George. Almost. Hell is full of people who almost got saved. Hell is full of people who came to a service like this and felt the tinge of the Holy Spirit and felt conviction. Hell is full of people who said, I ought to be saved. I'll do it tomorrow. Somebody has said that one time in hell, they had in the early parts of creation, they had a little meeting of all the little demons in hell. Help the lady take the baby to the nursery, please, immediately. Quickly, quickly, hurry. Quickly, that's it. A lot of those folks back in the back need to hear the gospel, and I want them to hear. They had a meeting in hell of all the little demons. Lucifer stood up and he said, Jesus Christ is going to die for the sins of the world. Jesus Christ is going to take upon himself the sins of all the world and be the sacrifice for sin. What can we do to keep people from being saved? One little demon raised his hand up and said, I've got an idea. What is it? Said Lucifer. Let me go down to earth and let me tell people not to believe the Bible. And by the way, anybody that tells you not to believe this book is an imp out of hell, I'll tell you for sure. And let me tell you not to believe the Bible. And Lucifer said, go ahead. But that's not exactly the best method. We need some other way to keep man from being saved. We've got to have another method. One little fellow said, here, I got an idea. I said, what is it? So let me go down and tell all the church members and all the converted people live like the devil and drink and cuss and profane their lives like the devil. And then the lost people will see the way they live and they won't be saved. The devil said, go ahead, that's a good idea, but there's still something better. I've got to think of an idea. What could it be? Some way to keep, the best way to keep folks from being saved. One little imp said, hey, I've got a Lucifer. I've got a suggestion. What is it? He said, you let me go down there to earth and tell them to get saved. And all the devils in hell hushed. And Lucifer was about to behead the little fella. And he looked and said, what? And the demon said, what? He said, let me go down there and tell them to get saved. Tomorrow. And the devil said, That's it. And the demon shouted, That's it. More people will go to hell because they plan to get saved tomorrow than for any other reason in the world. Now I'm talking to men in this room this morning. You're lost and you know it. You don't know that if you died today you'd go to heaven. And you don't plan to go to hell. You've not packed your suitcases and put bound for hell on the outside. You've not gotten a penitent and said, on my way to hell on the outside. Nobody in his right mind intends to go to hell. But you're going to get saved tomorrow. Tomorrow, son, may never rise to bless thy long deluded sight. This is the time. Oh, then be wise, be saved tonight, wrote the writer. Proverbs, the wise man said, he that said, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day might bring forth. Again, he said, he that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Lot's wife was almost saved. Think how close she got. Outside her home. Left her family, left her neighborhood, left her city, got at the very gate of Zoar. Her husband got in. The angel had taken both of them, one by one hand, one by the other. Her husband got in. Lot's on the inside. His wife is just on the outside. She reaches to get the gate of the city to walk inside to be saved. And she says, just one more look. And right outside the city of Zoar, she froze. As a pillar of salt. Remember Lot's wife. Remember that she had every chance to be saved. Remember that an angel himself took her by the hand. Remember that she was pulled by an angel from God, had exactly the same hold on her he had on Lot. She almost, but she lingered. Check in the Bible, it says that she looked back from behind Lot. She looked back from behind. If she'd have kept up with Lot. Let me show you something. Here's Sodom. Back here. And here's Zoar, right over here. Now then, you're Lot, and I'm Lot's wife. And there's Zoar over there. Let's run. And just a little behind. He gets inside. Says she looked back from behind Lot. Now, had she done this, had she stayed right behind him, or even with him, she would have looked back from Zoar and she would have been in, thank you, she would have been in Zoar and safe before she looked back. Almost is but to fail. Sad, that bitter wail. Almost, but lost. Can you imagine how Lot felt? Whew. We're here. Hey, daughter! We're saved. Hey, daughter, we're saved. Hey, wife! Where's mama? Well, she is right behind us. Turns and sees her frozen body. Looking back toward Sodom. And I suspect about that time Lot said, I'd give my politician's job if my family could have gotten saved. I'd give all that land that I got from Abraham if my family could have been spared. I'd give all the money I made in Sodom if my family could be saved. I'd give all the popularity and all the prestige and all the votes I have when I ran for office if my family could have been saved. That's what the Bible means when it means says saved so as by fire. He just got in. You say, Brother Hiles, you think Lot enjoyed it? I don't think so. Let's think for a moment. Let's suppose, Brother Bordway, I've forgotten your daughter's names all of a sudden.
Julie and Debbie.
Julie and Debbie, sure. Suppose that tonight, Brother Bordway's, his wife and Julie and Debbie are sleeping. Suppose all of a sudden, the crackling of the flames, awaken Brother Bordway. And let's suppose for a minute, if you would please, that suddenly he jumps up, grabs his bathrobe and takes off outside and looks back and sees his house going up in flames and says, "Phew, I barely made it. I barely made it." And suddenly it dawns on him, "Oh, Mabel, she's in there. Debbie, Julie, they're in there. Hey, Debbie, Mabel, and Julie, they're in the house." And he starts to run back in. And he walks back in and he sees the roof crumble. And the firemen say, "No need. We just found their charred bodies." I see Brother Bordway the next day on the street. "Hey, Ray, I understand you had a fire at your house." "Yeah, I sure did, preacher. Sure did. Praise the Lord, though I was saved. Hallelujah. I got out." You think you'd do that? Huh? You think Brother Webb say, "Praise the glory to God. Praise the Lord. I'm on my way to glory. Hallelujah. I'm saved." I don't think so. No. I'd say, "Ray, aren't you happy? Look, Ray, let me take you out and buy you a steak dinner. I'll take you to Teeble's and buy you a New York sirloin strip steak. You haven't had one of those since you stole that cow when you was a kid. And I'll buy you a sirloin strip." And Ray says, "No. I'm not very hungry." "Oh, what's wrong, Ray? You're saved?" "Yeah, I'm saved. "Well, Ray, don't you like to eat?" "Yeah, I like to eat." "Well, what are you so glum about?" "Well, you see, preacher, I rushed out. I didn't think in time. Just reflex. Fire was raging, and I just got up and grabbed my bathrobe and took off, and just by reflex." "Well, Mabel didn't make it. Debbie and Julie didn't either. Oh, I'm saved, but they're not saved. I think when I get to heaven, I'm going to shout an awful lot. But if you don't see me shouting right away, I'll be thinking how my dad almost got there, but didn't quite. And maybe when you see me in heaven, if I don't shout for a few years, you come up and say, 'Preacher, we're in heaven. Glory to God, we're in heaven.' I'll say, 'I know. I didn't get my dad out soon enough. Almost is but to fail. Almost is no avail. Sad, sad that bitter wail. Almost, but lost.'" Remember Lot's wife. Would you bow your heads for prayer, please?